If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's August 27th, 2025. This is The Hump. But you know, Jimmy's getting up there in age. He can't hump weekly. He can't hump for an hour straight. That's for damn sure. So we got a young, virile replacement for him. An Emmy Award winner. The host of The Extreme Life with Matt Hardy. You can see him on sports SNY. My God, you're a little bit of everywhere. We've got John Alba here. John, how you doing?
So are you implying if Jimmy can't hump every day that I can?
I would think so. Yeah. At this stage. Yeah. He's getting a little long in the tooth. He's costing me a lot of subscriptions when he tweets literally anything these days. So, it could be worse. Listen, I could have you tweet, but hey, anyway, we're here. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chats and humper chats in because we are here to talk about whatever it is that you guys want to talk about. And I know our dude Dave Cost is just lighting up the super chat lines.
I believe
right
that.
Now. He certainly is. So we're going to spend a lot of time on what he wants to talk about. Please subscribe, guys. We got an interview with Evil Uno up, but always support FightfulSelect.com. Right before we went on the air, I had a story about Vince McMahon's birthday party.
I haven't read the story, but yeah. I want to say, isn't it funny how all these people who went to the party are like, can't confirm or deny if I was there. It's like,
asked one person who tried to, I said, how was Vince's party? And they go, wouldn't know. And I said, yeah, because you were there. And they changed their tune pretty quick.
If you're so afraid of people knowing you were there, maybe you shouldn't go. I don't know. Just a thought.
Well, I know one thing. He is not going to get drafted first overall by the Browns because none of his teammates came to his birthday party. That's a draft day reference right there.
There you go.
That's a draft day reference. But while you're here, get in those super chats, get in those humper chats. There is John Taylor saying Jimmy Van running from the grind, or should I say from the hump. Always nice to see John Alba, who never runs the grind.
Damn sure. I don't run from the grind. I don't run from it.
We've had a lot of people running from responsibility this week, John Alba. Our lead story today is Raja Jackson, of which many people said, who the hell is that? And to be completely honest, I only found out like a week ago who Raja Jackson was, and I was a gigantic Rampage Jackson fan. Like, I enjoyed Rampage Jackson back in the Pride days. Like, when I got reintroduced to MMA, it was a direct TV pay-per-view best of, and it featured Rampage Jackson body slamming people and power bombing people. And I was like, oh my God, they've got this in MMA. He went over to UFC, was massively successful. And Raja is his son, who is an 0-1 MMA fighter, but a trained MMA fighter nonetheless. There was a situation before a show at Knox Pro Wrestling, which we don't really know the official status of Knox Pro Wrestling as a WWE ID territory. We'll get into that momentarily. But of where a man named Psycho Stu, who had trained with Miro back in the day as a veteran indie wrestler, crushed a can on Raja's head. Raja was apparently legitimately mad. He was streaming to his Kick channel the entire time, which I guess is his primary revenue stream, as his father does as well. He got upset. The promoters approached him, said, maybe we can make this an angle. We can do it tonight. And he's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And apparently he made good with Psycho Stu there, and they planned the angle. However, there was a gentleman named AJ Mana who's been caught on video instructing Raja Jackson, make sure you get your lick back in, make sure you get your receipt. He has released the most ChatGPT-ass apology ever, complete with quotation marks that he left in from likely what was ChatGPT, where he said, oh, I was talking in character. Tons of wrestlers have called him out on that. Gail Kim said, we don't talk like that. We don't use that terminology in character. That's not a thing. There were clips that have emerged of Raja's stream where he was straight up saying, I will knock him out. 50 subscriptions, I'll knock him out. I'm doing this angle, but what I'm going to do in there is legit. I'm going to hurt him. A variety of things like that, John. And then what we saw was Raja enter the ring, lift Psycho Stu, slammed him, immediately knocked him out with the slam, then followed up with, it was between 21 and 23 unprotected punches to the face. Now, I spent a lot of time covering MMA, training MMA. There are zero UFC MMA fights that would continue to go on at that length, much less a person you are working with. After this situation, a man named The Epic was the only person that came in and helped Psycho Stu, who had his teeth knocked out, choked on his own blood. They had to give him CPR while people that worked with him pinned him in the ring.
Unbelievable.
While a guy cut an in-character promo trying to get clout off of it. This is insane, John. When I saw it that night, I know that if I'm getting messages about it, it's something, a company that I've literally only heard of once. I know it's bad. But then I saw the clip, it was way worse than I could have imagined. It's one of the most disgusting things I've seen in a wrestling ring.
I mean, it's got legit mainstream coverage, Sean.
Yeah. This was insane.
It is unbelievable to me that there are people in the industry and out of the industry who are trying to like both sides this. It is so clearly in front of your eyes what is happening here. And even if you do believe that Stu overstepped his boundaries when he threw a can at Raja and, hey, dude, be smarter than that. Don't do that. There's no deserving to the fate that he ultimately ended up with. This is a direct reflection of the bubble that exists in the wrestling world that is built on the notion that people within wrestling can create these personas and walk this line of, well, I didn't actually mean that as me. That was my character doing this. And that creates a culture where things that would never happen in any other industry or any line of work actually happen as a result of
that. Yeah.
And especially when you're at the independent level, that seeps in sex pests. You get people who are domestic abusers. You get just some of the worst kinds of people at that level. People who have created these characters and personas that are so larger than life in their mind that it allows them to be someone else when there are real things happening and there are real consequences to action. It's a disgusting thing that happened. I don't want to say just as disgusted, but I was very disgusted at the ancillary things that happened, the guy pinning him, the promo.
Oh my God. Yeah. See,
like that stuff, it didn't bother me as much as a guy getting hit 28 times unprotected in the face, but it made me embarrassed to cover an industry like this because there are so many people who think like that. And some of the public responses we've been seeing from people in the industry has really disappointed me too. It's just cut and dry. There's no brother, protect the business. Like this is straightforward. An example of assault. You saw it on camera. Regardless of what the catalyst was for it, it did not warrant something like that. And the fact that no one stepped in until that one individual did it's disgusting. It's disgusting.
And like the stuff I'm seeing with the coverage, and I'm like, who could defend this? And then I remember it's 2025. There are people that are going to defend anything, no matter how asinine. And I'm like, okay, this psycho Stu had no idea that something like this was coming. He is in a pro wrestling ring where he was just working a match, doing his job, and got assaulted.
Yep.
Assaulted.
Clearly. And not even like, well, was it, were they stiff? He was clearly assaulted.
This wasn't even like a, oh, I'm going to fight you type of thing. We're going to get in there and we're going to hash it out. We're going to shoot. No, this wasn't that. He was under the impression they were working and he got assaulted by a, like an MMA fighter.
By an untrained.
Yes.
MMA fighter. And I've trained in MMA, but not trained in pro wrestling.
Yes. It is one of the most insane things that I have ever seen. And then you saw Raja Jackson's reaction afterwards. And it's like, well, I mean, you know, he's not that good of an actor. So, you know, this is like,
and Rampage's statement didn't help either.
And I would be like, I understand there's a lot of gray area as far as potentially pressing charges in a situation like this. It opens up an awful lot of stuff, right? But this is one where very clearly charges should be pressed. And a couple gentlemen from that were formerly at Knox Pro said that people at Knox Pro were encouraging the talent to not talk to authorities unless they had run it by them first. And there was a whole list of guys going, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And the people who left the company were like, I got no respect for you. You're human scum, all that. Don't blame them one bit. Don't blame them one bit. And it's like, if Roger Jackson wanted to beat him up that bad, why? Listen, square up with the man. And like, literally him attacking this man right afterwards would have been a more fair fight than a situation of which the man thought that they were working. Which he put his trust in this guy to do that. And it's just insane. And, well, and
then, like, talk about incriminating those clips that you mentioned before of him being like, I'm going to knock him out. I'm going to, like, man.
Yeah.
Have fun with that in the court of law.
J.M. Milligrito says Kick has so many screwed up streamers. We signed up for one a couple weeks ago to like reserve the name. And I immediately regretted it. Alex Fitzgerald says, saw on a podcast one of the wrestlers being interviewed that Raja got off Stu saying people in the promotion were told not to cooperate with police. Yeah, that is that they showed screenshots of the group text and people saying, yes, sir, yes, sir. Kim Chi says, in an old Kick video, Rampage mentions how he's saving money for his kid's education and Raja's bail. He knew his son was a time bomb and did nothing. So that's another thing. So imagine going in front of a judge. And like the people that are trying to like say, well, Psycho Stu caused some of this. Your Honor, I was triggered is not an appropriate defense. Sorry, sir. My ego was too fragile and I knocked a man's teeth down his throat when he thought that we were working together is not an appropriate.
Again, it for even the incident itself aside, it exposes to a much more mainstream audience that may not be familiar with that side of the wrestling culture bubble of just how bad it can be. And this is a glaring example of that. The things that I mentioned too, where they're doing a pinfall and cutting the promos. Yeah. It's so disappointing. It's disheartening. Because when we had speaking out in 2020, you were really hoping that a lot of stuff was going to change. And some of that carniness is still just as prevalent as ever.
And I want to say, like, there have been a lot of really really generous people that have stepped up and helped out Psycho Stu. Like, as I see right now, $152,000 have been raised. Mr. Beast donated $10,000. Chris Jericho, Dolph, the former Dolph Ziggler, Jack Perry, Swerve, you know, Steve Macklin, Deonna Purrazzo. There've been a ton of people that have helped him out. Miro has like really spearheaded a lot of that as well. A man that he has known for 15 years. James Stallings says what Mark Henry said was ridiculous. I've got a lot of respect for Mark Henry, but I have issues with anybody saying, well, he had it. He brought it on. No, he didn't.
Dude, and I know we don't typically put up chats that aren't super chats, but I see one from Enrique saying it's not Raja's fault. It's the company's fault for letting an MMA fighter participate.
Bullshit.
No, bullshit. It's both parties' faults. They're both at fault. And if you can watch that with a serious face here and see Raja Jackson punch this man defenseless in the face 20 plus times and say it's not his fault, you're not a good person. I'm sorry. You're not. And I just don't understand, like, taking even the reporter hat off where you give people the benefit of the doubt, you say the alleged assault. This is clear as day on video. You don't need context to know what is happening there in that video in front of you. But both things can be true. It can be Raja's fault for doing what he did, and it can be the promotion's fault for enabling the situation to happen. Both of those things can be true.
Yeah. And it's just.
I'm sorry. You're not a good person as far as this is concerned. You might be a lovely person. It's, outside of that. I just want to say that.
There is no reasonable scenario where you hit somebody unprotected 20 plus times and aren't in the blame. You know, people say, oh, I accidentally strangled that person to death. You've got to strangle somebody for like minutes to do that. It's not an accident. Hitting somebody, it's not like a, and then the ref stops in and there's a couple more. 20 plus times. If you were in an MMA fight where your intent is to work against the opponent, and you hit somebody 22 times after they were out, you would be suspended by the athletic commission.
Easily.
Like, probably banned for as long as you could. Cool Fool says, do you think it was fair for WWE to remove Rikishi's school from ID program due to Raja's actions? To be clear, I've reached out to WWE PR. I reached out to Gabe Sapolsky as well. Gabe said, reach out to PR. I reached out to PR. They haven't said anything. They have not officially made a comment on this. Ringside with Wadade Joe Lowry says WWE dropped its affiliation with Knox Pro Wrestling and Backstage Talent. Say, listen, just so you know, Joe Lowry, you don't know fucking shit. I just want to let you know that. Like, you have made up fake scoops a number of times in the past. I really appreciate the super chat, the humper chat, all that stuff. But you don't know shit personally. You have no contacts whatsoever. I've had a number of talent that say, this guy annoys the hell out of us by getting into our DMs and trying to ask us for interviews and stuff like that. I've mentioned this before. You lied about when Keith Lee got fired a number of years ago. I put you on blast about that. You're not going to sit here and come on my show and talk to two people that actually reach out to people within the industry and pretend like you're doing that, because you don't do that. Thank you for the $10. I greatly appreciate that. Toby says, this guy tried to fight with the Epic after getting dragged off the man, for Christ's sake. Hope he gets jailed for attempted murder. Yeah, I mean, like, I think he headbutted him and, like, ended up punching the Epic in the eye. And I'm like, good God, man. And let me say, I got a ton of respect for the Epic, the gentleman who was saying, too,
where he was like, I was warned that something might go down. So,
yes, he was told to watch it.
So people clearly were aware that this was premeditated.
Yeah. It's insane. It's insane. Hassan says, I work enough with psych patients to know the young man needs help. Maybe that's why people are sympathizing. Hopefully Stu will be back soon. You think this will affect the ID program overall? I think it will affect what WWE looks at, and they'll put some protocols in place. I'm almost certain that WWE protects themselves legally to have like no, you know, nothing that falls back on them in that situation. And to be clear, they should. This is not WWE's fault. Like WWE had nothing to do with this. It's just if you are ID affiliated and you cultivate that type of environment in any capacity, that should have been the first thing.
Yeah.
If you want to say anything about Stu, the promoter could have went to Stu and said, "Hey man, we're a WWE ID affiliated show. Don't be doing this with people that don't know our business or anything like that." But then if you're a WWE ID affiliated school, you never put somebody untrained in the ring. Because quite frankly, that WWE ID affiliation and branding is a vote of confidence from WWE that you are a stepping stone to be looked at.
You're doing it the right way.
Yeah. And WWE should remove it. And I was supposed to be in touch with Knox Pro Wrestling and even Rikishi yesterday, and I didn't hear back. I had some people said, "Oh, they want to talk to you." I said, "Yeah, pass along my info." Nothing happened. Meet Normus says, "Raja needs to be locked up or get his ass whooped. Let's crank." This is the effect the major companies' usage of celebs and outsiders. SRS, where's your Emmy? It's right there. I let John borrow it. But
that's so.
Yeah. Yeah, I let Chris Van Vliet borrow a couple, too. It's kind of, yeah. You know, I do have a friend who's got like three or four of those, though. Went to high school with her. Just saying. No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. Choose oral medications, serums, and sprays. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. No hidden fees, no surprise costs. Think of Hims as your digital front door to get you back to your old self with simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Fightful. That's Hims.com/Fightful for your free online visit. Hims.com/Fightful. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And John, just like three or four.
I've been nominated 6 times.
Damn. 5-time loser. Look at that. No, I think that like WWE has no concern over a celebrity doing something like this at all, and they shouldn't. WWE has, I think this year, with the Travis Scott situation, definitely put even more thought. They put an awful lot of thought into celebrities for a long time. Then they scaled back all their thought in celebrities, and now it's kind of going back the other way because Travis Scott did so poorly and Jelly Roll did so well. But yeah. See people comparing Raja Jackson to the mass transit incident. It's hard to watch. Disappointed in wrestlers like RVD and Mark Henry defending Raja. I did not see the RVD podcast. Like, did he say anything of note?
So the main crux of it was I don't want to misquote him because I that's the last thing I want to do. But the tease that he put on social media was clearly meant as a way to push people to watch his podcast rather than actually add anything of true insight. And then on the podcast itself, he talked about like critical thinking. And if you can't detach the two sides from like one thing does not have to be true for the other to be true, then you're not a critical thinker or something along those lines. It very much walked, you know, that playbook. You've heard it a million times. That's where it was. And he said that Raja should not have been in the ring. It should never have happened, but you know where this is going here.
So Crispy Chris mentions that TMZ posted a Psycho Stew update. They said that he is conscious. And I think it was them speaking with the Epic to get an update. But Psycho Stew took a picture with a number of friends, family, and stuff like that.
That's good.
That is very good. And listen, I do think that criminal charges should be filed. I saw people say, oh, well, if he doesn't want to, you don't have to have, like, Psycho Stew doesn't have to press the charges. Josh Morgan, thank you so much. He always sends a super chat. We greatly appreciate it. Listen, we make more money when Jimmy's not here. That's just the sad reality. Listen, I make more money when Jimmy doesn't tweet, too. So Brian Doyle says, it's disheartening to see Mark Henry try to put all the blame on Stew. He can F all the way off for that. And anyone goes for anyone making racist death threats against Rampage. He didn't do anything to Stu. His idiot son did. Well, I mean, listen, I hope that Mark Henry, who I have a profound amount of respect for, like kind of reflects on this and maybe he didn't have all the information on that because it's hard to justify that, man. Like I've been in situations in the ring where I've watched and seen people be uncooperative. And I mean uncooperative. Psycho Stew was cooperative.
Yeah.
He was working with this man. Like, and yes, Rampage didn't do anything wrong. His comment wasn't good. His response wasn't good, but like he didn't do anything. His son's a grown man. Like it's his responsibility. Zach Schimmel, thank you so much for the super chat. And Sir Brendo says, happy hump day. Always enjoy the SRS and Alba show. As do I.
Me too.
As do I. We've got plenty more super chats and humper chats to get to. But now that we've spoken about this, I want to talk about our sponsors, MyBookieAG. This weekend, you got Clash in Paris. I'm going to give you some quick picks and remind you that right now over at MyBookieAG, you can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. MLB. Playoffs going to hit in about a month-ish. You're going down the stretch right now. Football about to start up. WNBA season really getting into the heat of things. But this weekend, you have Clash in Paris. You have Becky Lynch, a major favorite over Nikki Bella. John, I'm going Becky here, obviously.
Don't you dare call her the C word.
Not that C word, buddy. Rusev is a favorite over Sheamus, but the odds are pretty close. I think this one's probably the toughest one to tell. I think I got Rusev winning this one as well.
Yeah, not a whole lot has happened with Rusev since he debuted, so this would be a good chance to give him a win on foreign soil.
Roman Reigns, a big favorite over Bronson Reed. I think the prop bet should be, will a barricade get broken? And the odds will be like minus 1,000 because they always do. But Roman's winning this.
Or how many tsunamis will Bronson
there reach? You go. And how many will Roman kick out of?
There you go.
There you go. Right now, when you deposit $100, you get a $50 bonus. Or when you deposit $200, you get a $100 bonus at MyBookie AG. John Cena, a favorite over Logan Paul. Does he put over the youngster? Or does John Cena win?
I think Cena probably wins, but then his night doesn't exactly end in glorious style.
Okay. Why? Is Bobby Roode going to attack him?
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
And Seth Rollins is the biggest favorite with LA Knight CM Punk and Jey Uso following in the odds. Seth Rollins seems like a shoe-in to win this. If it's the main event, you know we're going to get some interference because it's a WWE Raw-based angle here. I think it's pretty clear Seth Rollins is winning this.
They should find a French fashion designer who's like very popular in Paris.
Yeah.
And in French, they should just cut a promo on Seth Rollins. And no one in the international audience will understand it, but the French people will know.
And do you think they will send me any French cheese?
Yesterday I had a French onion soup burger.
I saw that.
And they use Gruyere. Bernaise. Or a bechamel, rather, I should say.
I'm a big fan of Pam Gruyere.
I bet you are.
Phantom Drivers is not able to catch the show live, but wanted to say The Hump has become one of the shows I look forward to the most because of Wednesdays. Thanks for everything you do. Well, thanks for watching. And that's the benefit of Humper Chats. You can get them on before the show. Just Mask says, not to be a presumptive ass, but I feel you owe something to Vince at this point. Really picks me out. Makes me kind of suspicious of the, but still feeling like you owe something to Vince. Honestly makes me suspicious of the parties involved, not to throw accusations. It just yucks me out. So a little preview for the FightfulSelect.com story that I ran this afternoon. There was a talent that I spoke to who did not go. And I said, why do you think some people did? And they said, well, I think there's a lot of people that feel like they still owe Vince something, even though they made him back his money tenfold. And even though he would have absolutely fired them and never spoken to them again, if they would have been accused of anything remotely similar. Lots more of that.
Yeah. If you're afraid to own that you were there, I think that's a statement unto itself.
Yeah. Sean and John, was there ever a wrestling? Oh boy, this is setting us up here.
Is this one going to get me in trouble?
No. Actually, that one's Dave Costs. Sean and John, was there ever a wrestling and or story you personally weren't feeling, but at the same time can objectively admit it was good or great despite you not liking it?
Like storyline?
Yeah. Listen, John, I'm not saying it was a good storyline, but a couple years ago I went back and rewatched the Katie Vick story.
Oh, dear Lord.
John.
Don't be one of these people.
It was hilarious. It wasn't good.
I mean, sure.
It was hilarious. And it was only hilarious, and I realized why. Because I don't have to cover it on a weekly basis. That's why.
Right.
It was very funny to go back and look at. But if I was covering wrestling at that point, oh, I would have hated it. Would have hated it. But, like, as I think about it, there were probably a lot of, I mean, honestly, most of the stories that I liked were pretty good stories. I'll give you one.
You remember, turn the clock back to like 2014, post Bryan winning at WrestleMania.
Yes.
The Authority is on television every single day, dominating everything. Kane's in slacks, all this stuff. And
he said hard fart victory one time.
Right. They're just dominating TV, and it's the same shtick every single week. And they run the Survivor Series match where Sting debuts in WWE. And I'm like, man, I hated all of this in real time because it was just dragging and dragging and dragging. But it ended up producing a pretty fun match and a pretty fun moment out of that. So I was okay with it at the end of the day.
There were things like 96, 97 that I didn't quite understand why they were hitting. And like Mankind. I wasn't a big Mankind guy back then. Oh, the Dude Love persona. Hated all those. I didn't like it. Like, I was a mad little kid when Mick Foley got 3 entrants in a Royal Rumble. I was like, that's not fair. And now I look back and I go, okay, that was brilliant. That was very good. Yeah, like, sure. That was still a really, really good one. New Lack City says, shout out to my guys, SRS and Al, but you guys are always both on the right side of history and with common sense. Rare considering how bad the world is right now, disgusted by the Jackson fiasco and the wrestlers at Vince's birthday. I will say, I did talk to some people there. Nobody was willing to speak on the record, only on background, which speaks volumes to the fact that they thought that that wasn't going to come out. And I got to, as much as I would love to drop the list, be the first person to finally drop a list, I do have to respect the ethics there.
That was good. I saw what you were doing there. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You know, it's what I'm going to do soon, though, is I'm going to change this Fightful logo to distract everybody. Okay.
Gotcha.
Oh, well. Yeah, I just have to say, John, a lot of people go through a lot of things, but the 8 days that unfolded with the Cracker Barrel logo, now that that nightmare is over, like, those were the 8 worst days of my life.
You know,
John, I've spent so many meals at the Honky Barrel that I just can't believe they would do something like that.
I just taped 2 episodes of The Extreme Life of Matt Hardy before this, and yeah, Matt reveals on one of them, he had the kids for the week. Rebby was gone. He spent $200 on Cracker Barrel 3 days in a row.
Good God.
He spent $600 on Cracker Barrel to feed the children pot roast.
One of my friends lives in a very white suburban area, and she said that she referred to the entire neighborhood as the Cracker Barrel. And the residents did not find it as entertaining in the neighborhood group on Facebook, so to speak. Oh, man. Dave Cost. So he spent an awful lot since Alex Fitzgerald says change the Fightful logo to get a reaction. I'm going to change it from a camel to a moose. That's what we're going to do. Instead of humping, we're going to moose knuckle from now on. Okay. That's what we're going to do. Dave Cost says, my 2 guys can't watch live, but firing in a few. Who are you firing? Dave Cost says, the AEW women's division, all major championships are carried by the most over women for what feels like a decade. How would you 2 go about elevating certain talent and the storytelling around that? So I feel like the elevation of the TBS title has been done via Jade Cargill's long run and Mercedes' run. So I think you have to recalibrate that a little bit. You have 2 clear world championships, the AEW Women's World Championship and the ROH Women's World Championship. Although the ROH Women's World Championship is basically we're not going to have you on our main TV right now type of thing. But I do think they need an upper card championship, of which the TBS title will be whenever Mercedes loses it. The world title, like, they are very clearly establishing, hey, we got Toni Storm and she is the main woman. She beat Mercedes. She beat Athena. She's queen shit. I would completely scrap and forget about the ROH pure women's title. I would probably integrate the women's TV title in with the world title on ROH. And then I would institute institute world women's tag titles that cross brands as they see fit.
I think you're overestimating how many AEW fans care about the Ring of Honor titles.
Well, I mean, they care about it right now because Athena's got it. That's it. But that's why I'm saying I would get rid of the ROH pure and TV titles. I would consolidate them or simply just not do the ROH pure women's title because nobody was asking for a third women's title.
I just say, I don't think AEW fans generally care about the Ring of Honor championships being on the title, on the program. I just don't. I don't think they carry much equity. I don't think they carry much value. It's quite literally a name title at that point. I think with these 2 championships, a good long championship run can help elevate a belt. The main goal of it at the end is to put someone over big in the end who ends up beating them, right? But having 2 going on consecutively does create some stagnance within the division because people can't rise to that next level. And while I do appreciate a long title run, I wish that we would become a little more open-minded to not hot potatoing titles, but not being afraid to give someone a 5-week title run and using it as a story point. For example, something that I had pitched months ago, Sean, when Megan Bain came in, was I felt Megan Bain should have beat Toni Storm for the championship, shocked her. And Toni Storm, Rocky IV style, has to come back a little more serious. Sure. She has to learn from the experience. And after a month title reign for Megan Bain, Toni Storm beats her. Well, now you've elevated Megan Bain. She has equity. And you created character development for Toni Storm. I think that pro wrestling companies in 2025 need to be more open to doing stories like that and using the belts in those ways.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I do think that once Mercedes loses that title, you will see less of a logjam in that middle area, which there's an awful lot of people that are kind of bubbling under right now. Like Tekla has become a TV star in America. Jamie Hayter will probably get back there. Of course, Chris and Willow, all that as well. How much of a whiff is not having AJ Dom on the Clash card with that crowd adoring AJ? I'm okay with the five-match PLEs in general, but this was a big miss. Well, aren't they still in Paris on Monday? I think they're still in Paris on Monday, so that, I don't think it's a big miss at all because they're just going to do it next Monday, right? So, yeah, I it's okay. It's fine. Dave Koss says, the actual graps in WWE have been very strong this year. Okay. I feel like, understandably so, the DQ interference epidemic takes you a lot out of caring about that. Am I correct in saying that? John, I'll let you go first here.
Just disliking DQs and the roll-ups and all that. I mean, I think that stuff is the worst part of the Attitude Era that has carried over into WWE programming today. I say this all the time, WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com, where we do our streams, and just how much that takes me out of a lot of matches, because you're having a 17-minute good TV match that you know what the outcome's going to be. And that's really unfortunate because it does take things away. And I understand that Paul Levesque is a creature of the Attitude Era, but it was the very worst part of it.
Yeah, to me, it renders a lot of it pointless if I'm watching that type of match and it goes 15 minutes and it always ends in a DQ or interference. And then the 1 week they're like, oh, well, we can't have a DQ because it's no DQ. And then they just do interference like we're stupid and we don't know the difference. 7 straight weeks they've had DQ or interference in the main event of WWE Raw. 7 straight weeks. So, yes, it becomes an obvious booking crutch. And what I hate is people are like, well, you'll do anything to bury WWE. And I'm like, listen, if you want to be apathetic, if you want to settle for that, go for it. But I don't want to. I want to see something better. When AEW was doing gang wars every week, I hated it. Hated it. At the end of every show, it was a big gang fight. Okay, great. At what point do you not undermine the authority figures on the show that would supposedly do something about this?
That's something I have an issue with in wrestling in 2025. So many times stipulations are put in place and just ignored. Like even on the Forbidden Door show this past week with the no DQ situation for Hangman, where if he got disqualified, the title changed. He pulls out that table and just puts Max.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Through it, and you're like, hello?
So yeah.
We need to be more cognizant of that stuff.
Dave also says, what could AEW possibly book on All Out to counter what will no doubt be a loaded and strategic Palooza card? Give me your way too early card for All Out. Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing they can book is Cope and Christian competing in a big match on that show. That seems like the most obvious one, but they are hampered a little bit. Swerve, Ospreay, both out. We don't know what Kenny Omega's deal is, but I think they'll almost certainly have to have him do something on that show. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it is they're going to pull the trigger on Takeshita with Don Callis.
Probably too early for that.
Probably too early for that because they want to build to that. But Omega in something big, they will have a unified championship match. Tony has to face somebody significant there. Mercedes has to book or face somebody significant there. Who are you thinking?
And that's exactly the problem, right? Like, you just ran through Athena here with Toni Storm, and I suppose she could find another way back to her if you want to run it back, but there are very few options that have that equity that I was talking about built up. Now, if you want to put Willow in that spot with Mercedes and you finally get that match, you can do it. But given the direction they're going with Chris Statlander and Willow here and the teases they had in their match the other day, I don't think that that's going to be the route that they end up taking. I don't think there's anyone from WWE that they could really bring in there. Unless there's maybe Dakota Kai or something of that nature. I don't know when she'd be available, if she's available now. But
she is available now.
So she's available now. I mean, you could throw someone like her in that situation, but it's tough. And if they want to have a big championship match, you know, they could do Max and Hangman again if they really want to, because Max has the contract. But I think Kenny versus Hangman would be a really big match for All Out that you could do, with Kenny being Canadian and obviously the history there between he and Hangman. I'm not really sure, man, because coming out of Forbidden Door, there weren't many natural born feuds that I was like, oh, that's clearly setting up for something at All Out. They'll probably do some sort of stip match with Darby and Moxley or something of that nature, but I'm not really sure what else.
Yeah, I think you got to lean into your marquee stars on this show specifically.
It's going to be FTR versus Copeland and Christian.
Sure. And they've already sold a ton of tickets, which is really good. Dave Koss says, John knows how I feel about the MJF hanger match, a true classic that was ruined with the nonsense at the end. Overbooked doesn't even cover the extent. Who is to blame? Producers or performers? Everybody.
Yep.
Everybody who pitched the ideas. The performers who didn't speak up about it or were okay with it, the producers, Tony Khan for approving it and letting it go. It is an all the way down thing. MJF does not need this overbooked stuff.
No.
In fact, the overbooked stuff is one of the reasons why an angle that was hot enough to help do an attendance record at All In is now looked at as if it was a completely bad storyline. Like, there are people that have convinced themselves that the Better Than You Bebe storyline like wasn't good because there were overbooked elements that happened after that once Adam Cole got hurt. And they absolutely were. But like, he doesn't need that. He can be a classic heel without having all that.
Yeah. But like, look at talking about forward thinkingness of the title pictures and the stories that I was just discussing before. Like, if MJF had actually been Hangman here and cheated to win, now you'd have a pissed off Hangman who's willing to go to that next notch to beat Max in a stipulation rematch at All Out. And he could get the belt back after not having it for a month. Like, how many times would Stone Cold Steve Austin finally get the belt, then get screwed over 3 weeks later, lose it, and have to chase again? Like, I think that's okay to have in wrestling because it benefits all the performers. And I wouldn't have hated that here because I think that would have been a good match to revisit for All Out. But I mean, you know, I'm in agreement. I don't think they did themselves any favors with how they ended up the last 7 minutes of that Forbidden Door match.
RJ Suburb says Danielson versus McGinnis at All Out. I'd be surprised, but I do think at some point Danielson and McGinnis eventually team together.
Yeah.
I think that will be something that ends up happening.
I mean, Garcia will probably turn in the coming months.
Yes.
That seems to be the route.
Here's one we're going to answer at the other side of an ad read, but it says, what are some of the moments you knew you were part of something big? Brawl Out, for example. When did you two meet? SRS, do you like Bruce? Well, I'll tell you what I like. I like NordVPN.com/Fightful because no matter where you meet, you can use NordVPN.com/Fightful. Stay up to date on all the football games that you won't be able to see out of market. Stay up to date on all the WWE content, especially if you don't want or can't get ESPN Unlimited. You surely have a Netflix subscription. You change a virtual location after you download the app, and then you get all access to all that on Netflix. You also get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, the price they're paying overseas. Right now, you get a mega discount and 4 extra months at NordVPN.com/Fightful. And they've got tech support in case you can't figure it out on your own. I was like that as well. And then it took them like all of 1 minute to explain it to me. It's available on all your devices, works on all your operating systems, and there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. But that's just the basic tier, like a couple dollars a month on average. When you upgrade, you can get password managers, file encryption tools, all that good stuff. The Threat Protection Pro. Just head over to NordVPN.com/Fightful. They have a full list of features, options, and testimonials from great publications like PC, BuzzFeed, Forbes, TEDx, Wired, Huffington Post, Yahoo Tech, and the like. NordVPN.com/Fightful. This weekend, I'll be watching Clash in Paris on Netflix with a VPN. That's how Yebele is doing it. I am off the cock. Completely off the cock.
I canceled the cock today.
You canceled it?
Canceled it, yeah. I don't get
to pay
anymore.
The cock, but still here you are humping.
That's the idea. Well, because Jimmy can't.
It's true. When did we meet?
I mean, we talked to each other for a while.
For a long time.
I'd say probably dating back to maybe 2018 or so. But
did we meet after the pandemic?
Yeah, I think we met after the pandemic. We were supposed to meet before the pandemic, obviously, sure. But then everything happened.
I choked you?
Well, I think the day that I saved yours and Cassidy's life from a foul ball.
Yes, you did.
And
we heard the crack of a bat as we were walking into a bar, which, by the way, had no food. I was starving.
No food.
No food to speak of.
In
and I look up, and this ball flies, and John Alba just catches it. And he goes, "Hey." And I was like, "Wait, what?" He's caught this foul ball barehanded.
Outside the stadium.
Outside the stadium. But also, I needed directions to get to the stadium. And John Alba said, "Oh, you go past the train tracks."
No, that was separate. That was separate.
Was it separate?
That's a different time.
Okay.
That's all out in
Jacksonville.
That's all out in Chicago.
No. Was it?
Yes. So,
okay. And then I grabbed you by the throat and I didn't realize you had a...
I was dying.
You had a serious injury.
I had a very serious ailment at the time that was not good. And
I'm like, my
larynx is like dying. And Sean's like Bart Simpson choking me out.
And the thing is, here was the funny part. I thought he was selling for me.
I wasn't selling. It was real. It was real.
I thought you were just selling for me. And I was like, oh, no.
No, that was real. What were the other parts of that question?
So here's a funny one too. When are some moments you knew you were part of something big? Well, John, probably the time that I'm getting messages from people in AEW saying shit's about to hit the fan. And I message a certain person and that person says, "Man, I started to sweat as soon as you texted me." And then I clued in John, and John clued me into some stuff he was hearing, and we were trying to put the puzzle pieces together, and then I asked somebody, "Is this good news or is it bad news?" And they said, "Well, it depends on who you talk to," and I told John that, and like at the same time, it was like Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, like Roman Reigns. No, but me and John go, "That's Cody Rhodes."
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then this was leading up to finding out that Cody Rhodes' contract was up.
Yep.
John and I also collaborated on quite a big story. It was Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out of retirement. That was kind of a big one.
Mm-hmm.
But
I go, "Hey, this is going to sound random and out of left field, but have you heard anything about Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestling at WrestleMania?" You're like, "No, but I could try to find out." And pretty much minutes
one
later.
One day when people are done with the wrestling career, I'll do like a post-mortem on that one and have you on it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That'd be a fun one. I mean, in terms of like, because you weren't at Brawl Out, were you?
No, I was at home. It was one of the first shows I didn't do. So,
because I was at
I happened to stay home from Double or Nothing that year, and that was the MJF plane ticket fiasco.
Mm, yes, of course.
And I was like, okay, I can get a lot more work done from home, so I'm going to stay home. And then I was getting messages from everybody in the room. I was there for Brawl In, and that was a moment I knew it was going to be big when somebody texted me as CM Punk walks through the curtain and they said, "Hope you're still on Eastern time for as far as your body clock goes, buddy, because this is going to be a long day for you." And I go, "Fight?" question mark. And they said, "Yes."
No, I was at Brawl Out, and I talked about this when it happened. I remember when I was in the room and Punk is shooting how he shot, right? And
yeah,
I'm saying to myself, man, like, I've been in a lot of press conferences in my life. I've seen disgruntled athletes before. This stuff usually gets squashed in the end. So I was like, is it surprising he's saying this? Sure. I don't think I had the visceral reaction to it that so many people had at the time. But then when Keith Lee and Swerve are on the dais talking and a security officer just sprints through the doors.
Yep.
That's when I was like, oh, something might be happening. And I got a text maybe a minute later that was like punches were thrown. And I was like,
yeah, ah. I was getting messages from like Denise. It's like a security guard just ran through. Yeah. So, like, and I'm hitting up people that work with Fightful, like trying to find out what they're seeing in the room.
Yeah. And I tweeted after it happened. I was like, my gut tells me we just saw something monumental in the wrestling timeline. And think about it. I mean, with Brawl Out happening, it totally changed the entire timeline of AEW and WWE simultaneously.
Yeah.
When all said and done. So it was pretty crazy in hindsight. I can say that for sure.
That was actually going to be one of my last AEW post shows with a co-host because the shows went long. Like I don't want to be on the air for 3 hours. Sure did. And I had told Julie Cutler, who is naturally chatty, like, hey, we got to keep it to a certain amount of time. But then there were things happening and she knew, she's like, oh, that's out the window. I need to be as chatty as humanly possible while he figures all this shit out. So, like, for somebody who didn't do a lot of on-screen stuff, I was very fortunate to be working with her that night because she really helped fill those gaps. But how did WWE Speed go from 3 years on X to NXT? Well, I mean, it's because they don't have a home for it right now. And that's it. But it didn't have 3 years. It had about 15 months, I think. Yeah, that's it. It's not a very good show. They don't care about it that much. The audience doesn't care about it that much. That's literally it. Like, outside of Ivar's really good quick match that he had, I can't tell you much that happened on that. And I've watched all those episodes. It was a really weird idea that kind of, like, I think shit on the foundation of kayfabe more than the Unreal show did. Because if so, why weren't all these matches ending this quick?
Bingo.
There was very little psychology applied to it for that specific situation. I think there are absolutely ways you can do that where you say they have to work in a completely different style because of this. Saturday Morning Slam. A lot of people told me they loved working that show because they weren't allowed to do head and neck moves. And they were like, well, we had to figure out how to work it. But on TV, nobody knew that. So...
It was the Get Your Shit In Championship.
Yeah. Boy, they would have loved to have had Brian Cage for that one. That's for damn sure. Ibumania says, after AEW's union boondoggle, I think it's time for WWE to pull the trigger. From Corey Hayes' July 5th report about having interest in Mascara Dorada. I should also add Persephone. AEW's weakest point is the international partnerships at this point. I would be surprised if AEW had anybody on their show that they didn't have under some sort of agreement for a little bit.
Yeah, after the Vicar incident, I think that
yes
probably changed everything.
But is interesting that hundreds of wrestling shows have happened at the 2300 arena, including ones from WWE, and all of a sudden there is a union issue. That is very interesting, right?
Wild, interesting. Huh? What a coincidence.
Wild. Makes you think. New Lack City says, guys, what do we have to do to TK to get to do something with ROH? It was awesome when he first took it over. or when it could be AEW NXT style dark show on YouTube. It's like it takes forever to make changes. Time to delegate. Yeah, I think it's been time to delegate for years at this point, John. If a looming TV deal was not enough to get it done, including what FightfulSelect.com had reported was True TV being interested, and it instead becoming a Dynamite replay, I don't know what can get him motivated in it. And I just think he should delegate it to like Chris Hero, and Chris Hero should be booking like a super indie with occasional pay-per-views.
That's literally what happened with NXT when Vince was like, here, Paul, go have your toys and go play with it in NXT.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I mean, Young Bucks have said that they would love to buy PWG. Tell the Bucks to book ROH and book everybody for that and do all that stuff. That would be great.
There's not much name value to the Ring of Honor brand at this juncture. Yeah.
But I'm just saying there's a void there with no PWG being around. Fill that void. Fill that void. Run every so often, or you can make the TV like the dark elements of thing. I don't know. Has TNA ever asked James Storm to ever come back or attend an event? He's a TNA OG and the fan base misses him. Everything that I've heard is that he has a really good relationship with TNA. I mean, he's popped up back there a number of times, like over the years. Like he's way more focused on like acting and doing stuff like that now, but I've never heard anything about James Storm burning a bridge at a single place ever. So yeah, I mean, he was there 2 years ago. He did Impact 1000. That's what it was. He did a run in 2022. Yeah, he's in and out.
Yeah, it's just no spot for him right now.
Yeah. Will WWE be forced to apologize to Kelly Osbourne? So, referencing Ozzy's death is certainly, you know, you could argue in bad taste, but the promo did say he was like the only good thing to come from.
Yeah, dude, I was so confused by that because I was like, the promo put Ozzy over. It wasn't burying Ozzy for dying.
Certainly you could say, well, I don't want my family used for heat in a wrestling angle, and I get that.
Understand that. I get that.
And it's weird because people are thinking that like Becky shot and did this. Let me make it clear. If you see it in a WWE promo, it is almost guaranteed to be scripted. I had a copy of the actual script like 3 weeks ago, and people think, oh, Heyman and Punk bullet points. No, verbatim scripted. This was a scripted line. Will they apologize? I'm sure. I'm sure somebody will reach out to Sharon and Kelly and apologize. Sharon's done stuff with WWE before. Thomas says, when do you think that Mercedes TBS title reign will end, and who do you think beats her? I don't think she should rematch Tony until she drops the title. Well, I agree with that, but I think that you need to make somebody with Mercedes losing the title. Like, make an up-and-coming person.
I think it needs to be Willow. I really do.
That could be making somebody too. Yeah. I'd be good with that.
I mean, Willow lost the title to her. They have history. It just makes all the sense in the world to run it in a way where Willow's the one who conquers her. And let's be real, Sean, and I know you agree with me on this. It is long over for Willow to be a focus of that woman's division. And she absolutely should be.
I'm ready for Mercedes to start losing her championships as well. I mean, I know that she does a lot of good business for these indies, though. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video if you all don't mind. We would greatly appreciate it. We have a bunch of new videos coming out, including a new Fightful Studios video about Chris Jericho's future. We've got Fightful Presents talking about wrestlers who missed years out of the ring and then came back. Got a lot of cool stuff, plus a ton of interviews over on Fightful Select. You can get early access to all those on Tier 2. But I encourage you guys, $5.99 a month. Get you Q&A articles every day, Q&A podcasts every week. Grapsity does a Q&A podcast every other week. We have indie coverage with The Weekender. We have bonus reviews with Alex and Kate, and exclusive news every single day. There are so many things that the aggregators don't pick up on, or they just get wrong. FightfulSelect.com. I can't tell you how important supporting original reporting is, because one day, if that ceases to exist, the aggregators will have nothing to aggregate. Meat Normus says, wouldn't be a hump day without meat. How do you feel? How do you book heel Wardlow in the Don Callis family? Takeshita's likely face turn will make room, and a potential trio with murder machines is giving me meat sweats. So one of the things I didn't want to see out of Wardlow was him in another group, John, the Inner Circle, the Undisputed Kingdom, the Pinnacle. Now, granted, his just solo stuff hasn't been too hot, but I feel like the Don Callis family is primed for like some heavy TV time coming up. Takeshita very clearly is being set up to face Okada for the unified title eventually. How are you feeling, and how would you handle Wardlow and his involvement?
Happy to see him back, number one. I like Wardlow, and I think he's pretty talented. I think he should be James Bond, honestly. He looks the part. Badass. The Callis family is going to absolutely occupy a lot of real estate coming up here throughout the fall. I did not love him being put in the group. I did not love him being put in a group either. But you just hope that he's positioned in a way where, look, say what you want about Kyle Fletcher, but he's at least positioned prominently and consistently. So if Wardlow's at least positioned where he is consistently represented on television, he's not just a heavy, because we know he's a wrestler, right? We know he's a wrestler, so he shouldn't just be a heavy. I'd like to see him with that. I think he and Alexander as a tag team would be a really cool tag team to put together. So maybe they spin him off in something like that. But I'm not entirely sure of what the immediate direction for Wardlow will be with the Callis family.
I think that it is now or never with Wardlow. This run.
I didn't see Joel Pearl said the same thing, by the way.
What's that?
That put him in a tag with Josh Alexander.
Yeah, I think that would actually be really, really good. Why is the local IATSE protest out at the 2300 Arena where AEW is? I mean, I would ask you, why haven't they been there for any other wrestling show, is what I would ask you, because that is very interesting. It is a building issue. AEW brings their crew with them. Like, AEW doesn't pay the concession people or whatever it is that they are the union situation. Like, they bring their crew. That's why you'll see a lot of the same security. You'll see a lot of the same people backstage. You'll see a lot of that. Like, that is not an AEW thing. Now, if those people wish to unionize and then do something, like, I mean, it's a building situation. It's very unusual. Thoughts on the FTR Hager situation?
It seems like
Hager is retired, buddy. Yeah. He doesn't care about burning bridges with anybody. What'd you think about this?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It seems like FTR at least approached it directly with them. So
yeah,
no passive aggressiveness there. I mean, they took it right to him, and Cash posted those screenshots. So I would suspect that this is a done and buried issue after this week's news cycle.
Yeah, I don't expect Jake Hager to be doing like a ton of interviews in the future. There was once upon a time where we were in talks with him to do a podcast after he left WWE. That didn't end up happening. He wanted somebody else to join him, and I was like, I'm not going to use this as a vehicle for your significant other at the time. All due respect to them, but it wasn't going to be that. We were interested in wrestling and honestly MMA, because we thought that he could provide some unique crossover coverage. Listen, he was willing to speak out on things. Just he got things a little bit off on that, apparently. But there's no indication to me that he lied about anything else in that interview. How would you fix the Raw Tag Team Division and make the World Tag Titles valuable? Treat them like they mean something. Actually have some of the teams on TV.
Wrestle for the championship.
Wrestle for the championships. Stories, take them out of the arena first off. And I don't mean like the generic Street Profits Viking Raiders story that we had years ago. Like, it used to be very easy to get people to play off of one another. Edge and Christian, the Hardys, APA, the Dudleys, Too Cool. Like, they played off of each other's personalities and they got over. Like, you always had like top guys in WWE, but the tag teams were super over during that period.
Dude, tag team wrestling was one of the most important crutches of the Attitude Era.
Yes.
That's without question.
And, And then you could work Rockin' Mankind in there.
Yep.
And give people big wins.
How many times did main event guys just randomly team up and win the tag titles?
Yeah.
Happened all the time.
And as a result of that, you would see Edge and Christian play off of each other from a personality standpoint, play off of Mick Foley. You have to give them the time to develop. And they sort of do that with New Day, but I mean, they fumbled that heel turn heavily. If not for the New Day's own personalities, that heel turn would be nothing now because they got so much heat and then just kind of wasted it.
Yep.
A non-wrestling fan wants to know the main difference between WWE and AEW. What one match do you show them from each promotion? Thanks for Fightful.
Showcase the difference between the two?
Yeah.
Probably Bloodline Rules WrestleMania 40 main event, right?
There you go. That's exactly what I was going to mention.
And then
I would say Swerve and Hangman when it got at its most violent.
Yeah, either Swerve and Hangman, or if you want to go from like a more athletic standpoint, Ospreay Danielson, you know.
There you go.
Something like that.
Something involving Ospreay Danielson, Swerve, Hangman, or a mixture of those guys. Run the roulette and pick one of those matches. David Finley in New Japan, where do you see him when his contract is up, WWE or AEW? Do you see Cross returning to WWE anytime soon? Finley, so I've noticed he hasn't been in AEW in 3 years, but he did work the Japan AEW show after Wrestle Kingdom. So that leads me to believe that like Tony doesn't completely hate him because Toriano and Evil weren't on those shows. I think WWE honestly would be more likely than AEW, but actually I think he stays with New Japan. I think that they retained him. I do not see Cross in WWE anytime soon. He is getting a very, very good rate outside of WWE right now. He is highly in demand on the indies. And right now he can go out there, make his worth, spend his time with his wife, do signings, rebuild his buzz on GCW. He can address, you know, people say that he can't work. He can go out there and prove differently. And then maybe in January, you can start talking with him and say, hey, Rumble appearance, let's talk contract and maybe do that. I think that's the most likely scenario, John.
Yeah, it's probably all right. And there also needs to be some sort of proof of concept, right? Okay, what are you going to do with me in WWE if I go back? Because you didn't do anything with me while I was hot. So what are you going to promise me that is going to be reflected in what I actually get a chance to do?
Julia not performing at another pay-per-view. They don't give a shit about that United States title, John. They don't give a damn.
Especially after Chelsea put so much into it. And it's disappointing, isn't it?
I mean, it was predictable because I was like, they don't do anything with their tag titles. They're going to add another mid-card title. Like, just make it the golden ticket to jump between brands and all that stuff.
Yep.
And I said this the other night. I'm okay with the brand split, like, being as lucid as is now because you can't, from a kayfabe perspective, expect me to believe, oh, well, WWE will work with TNA and AAA, but boy, Raw and SmackDown won't work together. Like, it just wouldn't make sense now. 7 years ago, sure. But, like, Chelsea won the title, and all she did was feud with Mi Shen. Zelina won the title. All she did was feud with Chelsea Green. Julia won the title, and they ain't done shit. That title, they have made it not mean anything. Terribly booked title. Kenny versus Hangman at All Out if Kenny is cleared. I honestly wouldn't hate that, but Kenny would need to win something to earn that title match because he just lost a unified title match and hasn't had a singles match since then. So, okay, hold on. Dave Cost said, John, are you aware of the SRS stakeholder? Don't ban me. I'm not going to ban you, but I traditionally have been a well-done guy. Traditionally, you know this.
I do.
That's because I do a lot of outdoor cooking. And I mean, like, I'm not talking like on a grill. I'm talking like over a fire, damn it. I'm talking.
What does that have to do with temperature?
In the wilderness.
What does that have to do with temperature?
Listen, it depends on how many rolls of toilet paper you're going through in some instances. What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, John, I had my first visit to Jeff Ruby's here in Lexington. Shout out Jeff Ruby. Please send me gift certificates.
Steakhouse, I assume?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, high-end steakhouse.
Okay.
And I ordered their filet medium.
Oh, look at you.
And it was the best steak I've ever had in my entire life.
A filet is very tender, as is. Yeah. So if you went any higher than a medium on that, there'd be no point in getting a filet.
Sure.
Okay. I'll say medium is acceptable.
John is like, you know, you RVD, Mark Henry, you said some wild stuff.
You said some wild shit, man. That you and Roger agrees Jackson with.
Hanging out at the steakhouse, probably.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying. You treating me here?
I mean, look, you cook your steak medium rare. That's how you do it. There are even some circumstances where I'd say a filet is even best rare. But
buddy,
I know you're not. You're still putting ketchup with your steak. You haven't graduated second grade yet.
No, so. I don't. No. That's like maybe for nostalgia's sake, I'll grab God. A little A1. No. Never ketchup. Maybe for nostalgia's sake, I'll grab some A1. But let me tell you, I dated a girl when I was a teenager and took her to wherever the hell we went to for my birthday. And she literally said, I'll have my steak still mooing.
Yeah.
Blue. And I go, yeah, she sure did.
Jesus Christ.
I did not stay in that relationship a great deal longer, John. Pat Faruga, we're reaching the end of our super chats. Humper chats. Meet Normus says, you're breaking my heart. Medium rare got bruv. Listen, Meet Normus, when you cook for me, my friend, I will trust your judgment. If John ever cooks
for me, I would love to cook for you. Next time you're in the city, come over.
I've seen what John does. Like, I would listen. John could wrap a turd with burnt hair and I'd probably eat it. Like, John's a good cook. He, like, I can tell. Meet Normus, whatever pops off the grill that you make, I'm eating. That's it. You grilling some snails, I'll eat them. Pat says, what's one thing from each of the last 5 decades you miss in modern day pro wrestling? And what aspect is better than ever? Okay.
Each of the
last five decades.
So going back to the 70s, I guess.
Okay. So in the 20s, I miss cinematic matches. Those were fun. In the 2010s, I miss the indie environment.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great one. That's a great one. Dude, the indies were just like 2017 to 2019. The indies were unbelievably hot.
The Flow Slam era, even though it was doomed to fail, man, it was really, really great to see so much indie wrestling there. The 2000s, I actually miss a lot of the comedy of the early 2000s. Like, again, Edge and Christian and Mick Foley. I miss a lot of the humor related to that. The 90s?
I think with the 90s, it's just how pop culture relevant pro wrestling was.
Yes.
Like, where you could go to school and everyone had watched Raw and Nitro. Too.
I miss the contrast of colors. You would go from like these vivid, bright neon colors to like the NWO, and both of them were aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And in the 80s, I was not coherent, but from that perspective,
I think with the 80s, I wasn't even alive, but I think with the 80s, just from the insane amount of matches I've watched through the years, like I think of like Christmas in the Cage, 82, right? Von Erichs and the Freebirds feud kicks off with the Ric Flair match. Like, just how visceral and important that was to people and how much it meant to them because they believed everything they were seeing. I think that's something that's pretty special.
The 80s inset promos. That's what I miss.
You could just say the 87 Slammy Awards in Atlantic City with the musical numbers. You could say that too. Oh, yeah.
I miss inset promos because like they would always say, and now comments from Rick Rude, to the point I thought that promos were called comments. Oh, like,
there you go.
But I miss that as well.
You're not about watching Pile Driver be sung by Coco Beware?
No. Absolutely not. We got two more.
What we're gonna do to you.
It's just Bob says, Sean and John, have you heard if NXT has any plans to do a show in the UK, maybe return to Blackpool? I think if and when they ever launch or relaunch
NXT Europe,
they would probably do something like
that. It is
that,
pretty wild that they didn't bring NXT. Like, Heatwave could have easily been in the UK this weekend.
Yeah, it certainly could have been.
And then they could have run it actually head-to-head with AEW.
Yes. Well, I mean, it was still close. It was still pretty close.
No, but I'm saying, like, it would have been the same start time.
Jake Hager says, or Joel Wood says, Jake Hager knew not to mess with FTR Glock. I saw a lot of those jokes online. I won't make them because I would imagine that's not a lovely time for Cash to look back on. But yeah. Guys, I want to thank you all so much. John, tell the people where they can find you. We always love having you here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, Joel is one of my Patreon subscribers, WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com. It's very different content from what you find on Fightful in many ways, and we do a lot of fun stuff, tape studies, etc. Really good time there. Great Discord as well. I contribute feature news writing to Sports Illustrated's Takedown vertical there, The Extreme Life of Matt Hardy, and podcast drops every single weekend wherever you get it. It's a great time, man. I are going into year 5 in January, which is
wild, insane. Isn't it?
I know. Yeah, it's crazy,
it's
man.
So wild.
But it's and, been a great time. And yeah.
And Matt has years worth of stories left, which is insane. Matt has like infinite stories. But encourage you guys to check that out.
We had Ken Anderson on last week, and I didn't realize even how much stories they had between the two of them. And it was a super great time. But yeah, I appreciate it. Look, you know, I love hopping on Fightful stuff, and yeah, I appreciate trying to give you a ratings boost over Jimmy here.
John loves hopping on and getting some humping in. We appreciate him for doing so. Jimmy ducked me again this week after, did you see him rationalizing why he wouldn't let me have my rubber head?
No, I didn't see that.
He had that rubber head of me made, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, it's been years. Like, can I have that? Like, he goes, no. He's like, because if you tear it up, my kid will flip his shit. And I go, excuse me? And he's like, yeah, my kid has it around, plays with it, all that. And I go,
it's the one with you with long hair, right?
Yeah, I'm like, it's Jimmy. It's, and I listen, I wasn't this calm, but I was like, Jimmy, it's me. Like, so you don't think he can just take one? And he can't man up a little bit? A little 8-year old can't man up and let me have my own head?
I think what you should do, if you do get your hands on it, is do what Bray did when he became the Fiend, and you should put your face around a lantern and carry it with you, since it's your old face. I think that's
what I was just baffled, and he's like, well, yeah, it's really delicate. And I was like, what's your kid doing with it? Like, what could he possibly be doing with that thing? And he's like, yeah, well, it costs a lot of money. And I'm like, well, what more use of it are you going to get than the skits that I will do to promote the website of which you own? Which, by the way, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com because aggregators be trying to kick our asses. Jimmy, let me use some marketing here. Let me do some stuff. I don't know. He said he would bring it on the show this week, and I'm like, well, he's not here, so go figure. Go figure. But please do subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We have that story about Vince McMahon's birthday bash up on FightfulSelect.com. Just $5.99 a month. You can also gift subscriptions over there. Until next time, my friends, we are out.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good.
Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.